Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. And we are pleased to welcome into the program legendary San Francisco 49er and legendary Tennessean Patrick Willis to the program. Patrick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Really happy to have you with us. And, you know, Patrick, your career, it was so much fun to watch. Five-time All-Pro, seven-time Pro Bowler with the 49ers, a Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist again this year. When you hear that and when you kind of think about being a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, what comes to mind?
Man, just the chills. Just chills. You know, it's almost, it's like, you know, hearing the possibility that you can, you know, be drafted. You know, I can't say that I know that I envisioned myself being, you know, I don't want to say not envision myself being a Hall of Famer. I thought about it, and when I went, the way I went about the play, I tried, but to actually be a finalist now, going on my third time, you know, it's really real, and I'm just truly honored and thankful for everyone who's involved in this process.
Do you worry about the shorter career hurting your case, or do you look at guys, recent inductees like Kenny Easley, Terrell Davis, Tony Boselli, and think that an 8-season career isn't that short anymore in the eyes of the selection committee, and that it probably won't hold you back?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. Obviously, when I was, you know, when the time came, you know, it had crossed my mind a little bit. However, at the same time, I also had this way of thinking about it as in, like, you know, I can't really, I can only control what I can control and focus on what I can focus on. And it's no different in life. You know, sometimes we want to stay around longer in places that it's time for us to go, and sometimes we make it worse. And for whatever reason, in my core, in my gut, it was time to move on. And I say, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to go about this the same way that I went about it when I first started. I said, you never know how long you have to play, but just in case it's one day or it's 5 years or 10, when that time comes, I just want to be able to look back and say, you know what, I gave it everything I had, and that's what you can grade me on. And so, yeah, I just hope that, you know, if it's a test and you only have four questions, then you don't have room to get it wrong. And that's how I kind of felt about with my football career, meaning that, man, the NFL for me has stood not for long. And so just in case, you know, it's not long, I just want to make sure that I give it everything I have. And we shall see.
Did the toe injury that forced you to shut it down, Patrick, did that have implications beyond football for you? Was it a problem in daily life? Is it a problem still?
Well, obviously, it's yes, that was a major factor. That was one of the biggest things that, you know, I thought about early on. I was like, man, you know, when I no longer have that passion to give it everything I have, then I'll step away from the game and figure it out. And it was just a conglomerate of things, you know, from the injuries. And I just took it all into consideration. Like I said, that same voice that told me when I was young that said, you know, you're going to do this, was the same voice that I heard saying, Pat, you know, it's okay. It's okay. You know, and I kept hearing that Bob Marley voice in my head said, what's the gain in the world but lose your soul in the process? And I was getting to the point where it was hard to get up in the morning time. I was getting grumpy in the locker room. I was spending more time just praying and asking God to just give me strength so I can go out there and get it done. And I just felt like when it started getting to the point where I'm begging to just have the energy to go out there and play at my best, I knew it was time to figure out the next phase. That's how it came about.
Patrick, is it a thing anymore, or is it something that healed up in time?
Yeah, well, I said when, you know, it's a lot to it, but a lot of people know that my right toe was just as bad, and I'll never forget when I left the doc and he said, you know, you're going to have to come back in and get your other toe done eventually. I don't know how long you have left in it, and it was just at that point where I said, you know what, man, like, I've seen guys come back you know, crippled. They're talking to us, and they have some great stories. But man, they're fragile. They barely can walk, and they're only in their 50s and 60s. You know, what's the point of having? You know, what's the point of working so hard and trying to make a good living for yourself just to get older and be crippled and can't really enjoy it? And that's for me. You know, growing up the way I grew up, you know, I said, man, I'm gonna give everything I have so I can kind of have the quality of life that I want to enjoy, you know, as I get older. And so, taking all that into consideration, yeah, that was a choice. And then now, you know, it's I don't have to take on 300-pound guys anymore. You know, I don't have to, you know, worry about them scat back. So it's not as much, but I can feel it at times when I, after working out, when I'm working out, even now I still have to use CBD and cream on my toes as I did when I was playing. And so, yeah, it still aggravate a little bit, but it's nothing near as much as when it was. You know, you had to go out there and perform it against A1 top athletes every day, practice and or games.
Patrick Willis with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Patrick, I want to go back to your college days. Obviously, you end up having a phenomenal year or phenomenal career, excuse me, at Ole Miss. But a lot of Tennessee fans look back and say, man, can you imagine if Patrick Willis was a Tennessee Volunteer? And I know you grew up in the state. Was Tennessee ever on your radar? Did they ever get in touch recruiting you? What was your experience like as, you know, with Philip Fulmer and that staff? And I guess, what do you say to Tennessee fans who are really disappointed you didn't end up as a member of the Tennessee Vols?
You know, oh man, what a story. You know, I'll say God work in mysterious ways. You know, oftentimes they say, tell God your plans and he'll laugh at them. And for me, I thought, you know, growing up in Tennessee, you know, I grew up early on. I was big Ohio State fan, Nebraska fan, but of course you get to high middle school and high school and you start realizing like Tennessee is the ball, it's America's team, and it's Tennessee is ball country. And I was like, man, in order to go to where I have seen myself being, I got to go to the Tennessee Vols, because I knew that they had put out a plethora of athletes that I knew that you can go up there and pretty much not even start and still get opportunity to try out in pro day, and they'll still take you just because of the recognition of the Vols. However, you know, I remember going on my unofficial visits to Tennessee my 3 or 4 times, maybe 5 times, and I just remember them never saying anything to me. I mean, no matter how good my games were the night before I would go in there, I never heard them say, you know what, Willis, we watched your film, we heard you play well, like, keep on balling, you know, we're interested in it was to the point to where I remember my dad saying, boy, a closed mouth never get fed. And I never forget, I went up to the coach after my last visit there, because it takes about 5 hours to get up there. And I got up there, and it was the same thing again. So I said, you know what, I'm going to ask Coach Berry. And I said, Coach, now I don't understand. How come nobody is, you know, having a talk with me? I haven't been on an unofficial visit. I've been trying to show you all that I'm really interested in being here. And he pretty much told me, he said, you know what, we're recruiting 2 other guys, and we don't know if you're going to make your ACT score. And that right away, I mean, it hurt, because I was like, man, if you just knew how hard I'm working on this, if you just knew how hard I'm grinding, like, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to make it happen. Like, just believe in me. And pretty much it was almost as if, like, they say, you know what, our attention is elsewhere. And at the end of the day, you just want to go somewhere where you want it, where you welcome it, and you can make it at home. And I just said, you know what, I'm gonna go back and I'm going to focus on what I can focus on. And that's continue to play the best ball I can play. And out of nowhere, Ole Miss pops up. And, you know, it was almost like they say, when you know, you know. And the energy was just on point. Granted, like, you know, that it was a recruiter that was, you know, Coach McIntyre, Coach Mike McIntyre. He was just, it was amazing. And I just never forget, I went on my official visit to Tennessee, and I'm sorry, I went on my unofficial visit to Ole Miss. And I knew after I walked down that Walk of Champions, I didn't tell anyone, but I knew it was a couple of times. It was my second time in my life where I knew, they say, when you know, you know. I knew that, I said, this is a school for me. And I said again, if I had to do it all over again, I would go back to Ole Miss again and try to beat all those teams. So, yeah, man, it was, again, God worked in mysterious ways. And if it was up to me, I would have went to Tennessee. But ultimately, I'm glad I ended up at Ole Miss.
Blake Bedingfield, a former Titan scout here, I was talking to him about you getting ready for this And he said only two, when Chris Johnson was in his prime, when he broke through, he usually geared down when he was heading on one of those long touchdown runs. Only two guys ever made him aware in the secondary that he had to maintain his top speed, Troy Polamalu and you. You remember chasing Chris Johnson and him maybe being surprised by your speed?
Oh my goodness. I think it might be the other way around. I won't lie to you. I remember we played, I think it was 2008, Takeo and I were inside linebackers together. And never forget that defense we had. A lot of people don't give us a lot of credit for that defense we had from 2007 to 2010 in our run defense. That, yeah, we may not have the best pass defense, but our run defense was pretty on point, and we had not allowed 100-yard rusher. And I still don't think he had got 100 yards, but I never forget we had a counter. They ran a counter, and I seen Chris Johnson on film run, and we always had our coaches say, don't overestimate your speed, but don't underestimate his. And to kill, he hit that counter, and I was supposed to be there a second. I was supposed to be there a little faster, but usually I can gauge, and I can be like, all right, I'm going to let them think that I'm not there. And as soon as they think they're going to come out, I'm hitting them right at the moment that they cross that integrated across the yard line. And I never forget, I tried it with Chris Johnson, and he hit that little step on me. And I never forget, Spike Dog looked at me. He came back to the home. He said, Cap, what happened? I hit it. I said, man, that sucker fast, man. I said, he a lot faster than I thought. And so it was probably more the other way around. And him and I every now and then, I've joked with him before on Instagram. What gave him love on Instagram, I think he was showing a play, and I said, yep. I know that feeling where you think you got him, and all of a sudden he just slowly running on past you, and you ain't, and you're not catching up to him. So I appreciate him for sharing. I appreciate him for admiring my speed, but I most definitely admired his that much more.
Well, Patrick, as you look at your career, I mean, the numbers are outstanding that you put up during your time in San Francisco. As you reflect back on it, what are you most proud of about your career?
Man, as I reflect back on it, it would really just be having the will to not be denied, meaning that, you know, coming from, you know, a small town, coming from, you know, I don't want to say much and nothing, but just coming from my circumstances, my situation, and to be able to just stay focused and climb the rope and, you know, meet some great people along the way and play for a great organization, an organization that I remember as a kid and I never, ever played for, you know, my days. So I said, boy, never say never, because I was a big Cowboys fan growing up. And to be able to go to San Fran and just make history, become a part of that history, it's just all truly, truly a blessing. And I just give all praise and glory to God.
Well, Patrick, appreciate so much you taking time to be with us. It's been a pleasure getting to talk to you today. And again, very kind for your time. Thanks so much. And good luck with things moving forward here.
Wish you the best of luck. I know you got a lot of support in that room, and you've got a hell of a career.
Hey, I really, really appreciate you all. And also thank you to everyone who supports and have followed my career and continues to believe in me. And I appreciate it all. And whether I ever get a chance to tell you in person or not, just know that I'm truly grateful and thankful.
Hey, you got to time up your trips to Tennessee a little better, not come when it's when we've got ice.
Hey, you know what? I won't lie to you, but I would not. It was very tough to come here during this cold time. But I had received an award from the Star of Hope from the Community Foundation of Northwest Mississippi for being their Star of Hope this year, and so that's what brought me back to the South. And I'm in the right place. I'm where I need to be, because it's bringing back some memories as to why, like, when I was young, this cold weather, why I wanted to live where it was warm. And to get drafted to California, I'll tell you, man, it's been truly a remarkable journey to this point, and just truly grateful. So thank you all, and just thanks for having me.
The great, well deserved, I'm sure. Good luck.
The great Patrick Willis, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road.